Now, recording live from the SEC Pub, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
We're back, hour number two, the BS and Beer Podcast crew here at the SEC Sports Pub. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, I'm Dave Romero. We're here, Sports Talk 97.7, Ruston, Monroe, everybody in between that Tomas mentioned last week on the show. That's you remember correct. Those guys again?
No.
Yeah, no? Okay. We're going to have to get us a little map
exactly.
of Northern Louisiana.
Just maps.
Yeah, and then what I'll do also is get a map of everybody
we'll
on the internet in our listening area.
We'll pick a city of
the week.
Yeah,
a city of the week. I like that.
There you go.
You know
there
what? You matter of fact, you just reminded me of something. We still have to give away. Last week, we forgot to do our name, our code word.
Code word.
Yeah. Did we come up? What was it that we came
Virals
up with? Viral.
Viral.
And that was because of, obviously, something on Twitter that I did that went viral.
That's correct.
To me, anything over, like, 10 retweets.
No, I thought it was that penicillin you were taking.
Yeah. I told you we didn't want to talk about that, right? Okay. Here's the thing. If I have a tweet that more than 10, that's viral.
Yeah, viral.
I'm not sure exactly what the guidelines are, but it's got to be close.
For you, that's close.
That's close. So, anyway, Saints win 26-17. Listen, it wasn't necessarily an exciting game, but it's what you want to see out of a good team. They go in there, they handle business. Because let me tell you some of the things I've been reading. Some people are overly optimistic. They're saying, look how great we are. 4-game winning streak. All the teams we played were great. They all have winning records, which is true. The Saints, right now, they played against the teams with the highest strength of schedule. Is that the right way to say
well,
it?
Well, they the Saints them, the those Saints. Teams comprised made the strongest strength of schedule for the Saints.
Okay, so there you go. We winning against good teams. Now, having said that, then someone, of course, comes back. And at first, I kind of agree when it's like, hey, we beat the Packers without Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
But here's what I'll say. Not only did we go into Green Bay, which is a tough place to play anyway.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we beat a good team because Aaron Rodgers, while he might be one of the best quarterbacks of all time maybe,
yeah.
he's still just one person. That is a good team the Saints beat.
And we gave them 14 points.
And we had turnovers. The point is we went in there and we didn't just beat them. We controlled that game. We controlled the line of scrimmage. We ran the ball effectively. And after Drew Brees got over a couple of bad throws for interceptions, the Saints pretty much controlled that game the entire time.
Yeah.
So,
and by the way, the Saints had only ever won in Green Bay twice before.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I did not see that.
2006 when Brees' first year, and I believe Archie Manning's rookie year in 71, if I'm not mistaken.
And what was the statistic that you pointed out about the Drew Brees throwing for so many yards against the Saints?
Oh, yeah. He was the first player. First quarterback to throw for 300-plus yards in seven consecutive games against the same opponent, the Packers.
So going back every seven games for Green Bay.
That's pretty good stuff. Hey, listen, hour number two for the BS and Beer Podcast crew is bonus coverage. We only do 1 hour in the offseason. That's normally the thing.
Bonus
coverage coming your way.
Thank you. And now it's time for the bonus round, where you play in front of dozens of people for tens of dollars. Tomas, Heath, Dave, are you ready? Let's play BS and Beer Podcast.
All right, so one of the things I brought up earlier in the show that I want to talk a little bit about right now, your guy, Tomas Kikaha. Two snaps 2 weeks ago against Detroit.
Yep.
This week, inactive.
Yep.
A healthy scratch. There's been rumors. Now, we know that nowadays they have these, what do they call those reports that they do, the flash reports or something where, you know, these guys just come in and just kind of like say stuff that's, I mean, it's very arbitrary and it could apply
like
to
Ian Rappaport?
Yeah, it could apply to about anything.
Yeah.
And so now it's starting to be a thing. We're starting to hear about it, and the fact that Kikaha did not dress out, didn't play, starts lending a little bit of credibility to whether or not this story has any legs to it. We have Trey Hendrickson.
Yeah.
We have
Muhammad.
Muhammad, although he didn't play, I'm talking about.
No, but I think from something that I read today is that, you know, if they do get rid of Kikaha, it is probably to open up room for
opportunity
for Muhammad.
And with Okafor playing as well as he's been playing,
right.
And he's been playing very well.
Yeah.
You're looking at three guys who can play that in. Now, although Hendrickson has been spelling Cam mostly.
Yeah. At least as of late, he's come in on that other side. Cam has kicked inside, and they've put Hendrickson there. Or also when they just gave Jordan a rare breather.
He didn't come off the field a whole bunch. He's getting 98% of the snaps. But I guess every once in a while he has to come and tie a shoe or something. Yeah.
Okafor's been playing so well. That's a big part of it. Now, the other part of it was he possibly a scratch in this game because of the field conditions for a guy with three ACLs?
Well, and that's something that we were going to bring up earlier and we didn't get around to it, is Willie Snead. Now, Willie was suspended for three games.
Right.
Pulled a hammy.
Yeah.
Then he did come back after the bye week. Pretty ineffective, lackluster, didn't hear his name a whole bunch. I think he may have had one catch.
Yeah, I think so.
And then all of a sudden, here we're back, and he's a scratch. So now, back to your point, Heath.
Yeah.
Was he a scratch because maybe the Saints with Kakaha, with their injuries, do you want to put him on that field?
Right.
Slippery. Tomas was talking earlier about the sidelines being like right.
Just plastic is right there.
Right outside the field.
Right.
So you come running, you try to put the brakes on, you hit that plastic and you're sliding. That's a good way to pull a hamstring, hurt yourself in all kind of different ways, but especially guys with knee injuries or history of knee injuries. But let's go back to Kakaha and the fact that we have so many players playing at the Saints have put a lot of effort and a lot of resources into trying to find someone at that right defensive end spot.
Right.
And it looks like they found a bunch of guys. So now the question is, if they're trying to trade Kakaha, who, by the way, has two sacks, what are they trying to get out of it? What do they gain from it? Are they just going to get a draft pick? Or are they just trying to move him for the sake of moving him because they don't need him?
Yeah, I don't know what kind of trade value, conditional late pick, obviously. I mean, he was a third round pick?
He was a second round pick.
Yeah. So, I don't know, man. He showed promise, obviously. He had the four sacks before he got hurt in his rookie season. And then he had two sacks early in this season. And he was looking really good. He looked great in preseason and everything.
Yeah.
But it appears they have a logjam at the position now. I mean,
who'd have thought that, right?
Yeah, right. And with his knee injury history and the fact that he's like the smallest guy of all of the guys we're talking about playing at edge, maybe they
obviously
better opportunity. Quite frankly, he may fit better in a 3-4 scheme anyway.
And that's the thing that I thought about. And if the Saints are trying to move him,
it might be good for both sides.
Right. Simply be, Tomas, that they feel that, listen, we have enough depth. We can move him, build up our draft picks, or perhaps there's a player out there that the Saints value that they think they can get something, some depth somewhere, and they think they can move him to a team that could better utilize his skill set. Because I do think that he's
Ninkovich.
maybe more suited. That's a scary thought there, Heath. Because the guy, Kakaha is a good player.
If he goes to the Patriots, look out.
If he goes to a team that plays a 3-4, that might be a better for his skill set.
I would say this to you since you brought up the Patriots. Could it be that the Saints planning committee, I'll put it that way,
okay,
has taken a page from the Patriots? Because the Patriots loaded up with 4, 5, and 6 draft choices, 4th, 5th, and 6th round draft choices.
Yeah.
So we trade Peterson, we get a 6. We trade Kakaha, maybe get a 5. You start looking at how many picks can we bring in those middle rounds. And then on draft day, you can certainly pair them up and move up to what you need. Just like we moved up this year to get Kamara.
Right.
Absolutely.
You can look at those kinds of things and say, well, it's a possibility, especially, as you said, with the depth that we have developed now. And Okafor has come in, and truthfully, he's done much better than I think anybody would have expected him to do because he had that, everybody was like, well, he's injuries, he's injury prone. He's stepped it up. He puts a lot of pressure off from that side, giving Cam.
And he plays a run really well.
Yeah.
He's you just mentioned it, the Cam thing. Yeah. He's now the guy who's on the other side that other teams have to respect. Not like the old wooden nickel or the wooden Indian.
I'm
pointing at each guy because they got their own nickname for him.
Yeah.
Depending on which guy you're talking about. Kruger could not do anything to take pressure off of Cam.
No.
Now all of a sudden, is it a coincidence that Cam Jordan is having a season that he's having right now?
He's having that season because now you actually have several players that have to be respected. Onyemata's got to be respected. Davison has to be respected. I mean, everybody in the interior line has to be respected. We may not be getting the pressure that we would think we would get, but we're getting sufficient that it's blocking up everything.
Right.
That means they have to come to the outside. Well, okay. On the outside, you'll have Okafor on one side, and you got Cam on the other side. So, to me, yes, I think Cam is having a great year because of what he's got around him now that's helping him. Not to mention what we've said before. Now you have a defensive backfield as well and linebackers that are making that quarterback hold the ball 0.5 seconds more.
Absolutely.
0.5 seconds more is a huge difference to somebody like Cam Jordan.
Now, I just want to – we mentioned this a little bit earlier that we got the draft pick for Adrian Peterson.
Yes.
This past week, 11 carries, 21 yards. Last week, he made us look foolish.
Yeah.
Everybody's, he's washed up. He can't do it anymore. He goes off for like 126 yards, I think it was.
Yeah. Two touchdowns.
Two touchdowns. This week, not so much. I don't know. I personally believe, and this is what I said in the past, when we first picked him up in the offseason, so the past meaning this past offseason, is that as long as the Saints don't try to rely on him, I think that he could be an effective guy to spell somebody for a handful, which essentially is what he was doing. But as Tomas pointed out, his mindset did not accept that role as not only a backup, but a backup that only comes in periodically.
Right.
Yeah. Since he's been gone, we have this new dynamic, I want to say thunder and lightning, but it's really not. I mean, it's lightning and lightning, you know.
Yeah.
Both of them run hard. Both of them run tough. But both of them have the quickness. Both of them can catch the ball. And the more opportunities these guys get, and when I'm talking Ingram and Kamara,
yeah,
unless one of them gets hurt, which God forbid that happen, but I don't see why you would take either one off the field except to put the other one in.
Right.
And there's just no room for Peterson.
Right.
So,
and the defense cannot play a certain way because we have a back in the backfield. They have to respect Ingram and Kamara as running up the middle, running around the edge, catching the screen, catching a swing pass. I mean, they have to respect every facet of what they can do,
Absolutely.
As opposed to Adrian Peterson.
Absolutely. Right. Now, so. Kamara, we noticed, listen, here we go with the comparisons. That guy, he all of a sudden, when the screen game is back in New Orleans.
Yeah.
The last time we had a effective screen game was when Pierre Thomas was in, and we talked about, listen, Kamara is much more athletic. Kamara is shiftier. He's faster. Pierre Thomas just had it. Whatever it is, he had
patience and balance.
Exactly. And we also talked, Tomas, about how maybe because when you put him on the field and you have Bush and you have all these other more dynamic players the Saints had back in that time,
right,
that maybe people didn't pay attention enough to Pierre, and that's how he really got you. Is you over there making sure you got high-low coverage or bracket coverage on Bush, and then you got to have a safety over the top to stop Meacham and Henderson, and then you got Colson running over the middle. And then all of a sudden, Pierre Thomas is a screen. You're like, oh, crap, we don't have anybody out there to stop him.
Yeah.
But Kamara, I mean, he seems to be developing the patience. Whatever it is, he's developing it.
Yeah.
And now he catches the ball, and it's an opportunity for a big play.
Yeah.
At first downs.
He's catching the ball. He can catch the ball way down the field.
Yeah, we've seen it. We've seen
that. But the most exciting thing to me is when this guy can run inside with power, man.
Absolutely.
I mean, he literally can do everything.
Yeah,
I mean,
holds that ball high.
Tomas is doing
that
high and tight where the fist is almost at your face and the ball. And he has those little things to prevent his elbows and forearms from getting scratched up. And it looks like a racing stripe coming down his arm right there.
Yeah.
So it's
probably for a Camaro.
Yeah, for a Camaro. There you go. I see what you did there. All right. So a little earlier, we talked about the good, the bad, the ugly.
Mm-hmm.
Tomas, give us a recap of who you felt was the good.
The ability of our coaches to make halftime changes and adapt to what the game is there. Good coaching going on.
And Heath, you said the offensive line.
No, I said the running game, obviously that includes the offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
They had a good number of yards in the game, a good output. But more importantly, it was late in the game when you want to be able to run the ball and keep the ball away from the other team and finish out a game that they were able to.
And that's something that we really weren't able to do against Detroit.
No.
And, we didn't manage.
And against a lot of other teams in recent
years. In recent years, right. Yeah. We didn't manage the lead very well.
Right.
We turned the ball over. We gave up easy scores. So a huge lead turns into a very, you know, like a squeaker at the end of the game.
Yeah.
Against the Packers, we managed the lead. We managed the game well. I feel like in the second half, we never put the ball in a position to really, you know, outside of the two poor throws from Drew Brees earlier in the game, we managed the game in a way that we allowed the offensive line, which I think, by the way, is a top five offensive line when healthy. So we're utilizing that offensive line.
They've been a top five offensive line swapping around parts.
Well, you know, yeah, maybe they were seven. You see what I'm saying? Now they're top five.
No, right.
But realistically, yeah, they've been very effective. But since the return of Teron Armstead, it's not even close. Sports Talk 97.7. Don't go anywhere. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer podcast.
Yeah.
We do this every week.
Every week.
Every Wednesday. So don't miss. We do this every week. Every Wednesday. So don't.
Tell us what you think.
I love this podcast.
He still loves the podcast. That's right. It's our new song. He put out, I don't even know his name, but we got a new song. It's not as cool as the original. I like it, but it got a little groove to it. And it's like, I love this podcast. You know, and weren't you saying earlier, I was throwing a couple of old school hip hop songs in there. You like that?
It's not quite, but
it has that smooth little groove to it.
Yeah.
The only thing is, I have him make these songs, and I just tell him, I wanted to, this is kind of what I'm interested in general. And he comes up with something, but I don't know how. He's like, oh, girl. I'm like, well, we ain't really singing to a woman here. But, you know, it's like we're singing to the Saints Nation.
There you go. Yeah.
So, but maybe it's like an airplane or a ship. It's like she. You know, it has that gender. So Saints
Nation.
I'm
sure we have lots of lady listeners.
Absolutely.
Out there,
I'm sure the ladies. Matter of fact, we should do one of those things where we have, you know, a segment just for the ladies. No? Yeah? Well. Speaking of ladies,
I got
it's nothing. Time. That too. There you go. I've been waiting for it.
Yeah.
Speaking of ladies, we got a rant coming up. It's always fun. It's always interesting. But like a woman complaining and you know, always mad about something, it's Tomas.
Oh my God, it's Tomas
rant. It's a Tomas rant.
That's right. I don't want to hear these facts.
Daddy, she's going to blow.
I have opinion.
I got a nuke coming in. It's going to blow in less than a minute.
That's going to mean anything to me. My opinion overranks the fact, okay?
It's gonna blow up,
And she will. It is a mathematical certainty.
Tomas, I like your rants, I really do. But this segment has more to do with that introduction than the rant. So, as usual, Tomas is gonna be upset about something, because he always is. Ears get all red, the blood pressure, you know. He comes to the SEC, watch the game, makes his own beers. The beers aren't good enough for him out of there. Have you seen that?
I saw
it, he gets like one of these, like, what is it? Like some sort of Spanish beer. Like
A Corona.
Mexican beer.
Right. Well, you
Mexican
know.
Mexican beer.
Okay. So I'm just saying, something like that. And then he buys tequila and he starts mixing up his own concoction. Yeah.
And agave syrup.
I forgot about that. So he's over there, man. He got a little still. And it's all like all this. He has a little bag and he opens it up.
He's making his own Oculto.
Yeah, and he's lighting the fire. It's like he has a lighter.
It's even better.
Because it really has, you know, 1800. So, you know. But yes, I like to make my. Look, when you go someplace and you want to watch the game, you want to imbibe the proper type of brew. And so, yes, I combine agave nectar, blue agave nectar, lime juice, 1800 tequila, and a Corona. And it makes for a lovely beer. A couple of those, and I don't mind saying, oh, dilly dilly. Nope.
Dilly.
There you have that.
Well,
so, you know, it's difficult when we have such a good game. It's very difficult to say, oh, gosh, you know, what can I rant about today? You know, the coaches seem to do a good job. The players seem to do a good job. Well, I've got something to rant about. Who is this pinhead? Blandino. Now, look, it was a better officiating crew than the triplet crew.
Horrible.
But better than Kaka is not a lot. So they have a timeout. Well, we got to review this play. Now, in the Detroit game, they go to Blandino. What kind of tie does Blandino have on?
It always seems to be the colors of the opposing team.
Right. Yeah. He had a Detroit Lions tie on, right?
Right.
All right, so now we go play Green Bay. Well, let's ask our expert. Expert, okay, sure. Blandino. All right, so Blandino comes on. What color is his tie? Green Bay gold.
Yeah.
Now, dude, okay, what's our next game?
LSU? No.
The Bears.
The Bears.
So the color of the Bears, orange? How much do you want to bet that Blandino will have a freaking orange tie on for this game? I am sick and tired of this kind of harassment.
Blatant.
This is blatant. The kind of harassment that people should get in trouble for. I feel oppressed. The oppression I feel from the NFL, from the organization that they call the referees. I believe that associates, they are a union. So, you know, I think that we're feeling that oppression because Louisiana is an at-will state. And so, therefore, these union members are taking it out on our team. I feel that something should be done. Because it's a brutal aspect of the game. I feel referee brutality on our team. Have I run out of time?
Yeah, you run out of time. I think this is where we need to play that thing where it's like you get a zero.
Yeah.
I've learned nothing. I am actually.
What do you mean you learned nothing?
I didn't mean to.
These referees.
I'm dumber for having listened.
You obviously weren't listening, David.
No, look. The
I
part
refer to him as David now, you see.
I know I'm in trouble when
that's
I hear
correct.
David. No, that reminds me of you like, hey, just what's better than, would you say, poop?
Not much. No,
it's like going to Kmart and they have the blue light 2-for-1 special. If they really want to screw you, to give you three. You
exactly.
know what I'm saying? So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's like, yeah, that's what
oppression?
We want.
Brutality, these are the key words that you need to remember.
You're using the talking points. That's
talking
what they're called.
Points. Talking That's correct. Points.
The opinions expressed by Tomas do not necessarily reflect the thoughts and views of David Romero or the BS and Beer podcast. And David's silence should not in any way be mistaken for agreement on the subject. Sometimes we just have to get on with the show.
All right, so there's a Tomas rant. But while we're here and we're doing rants and stuff,
yes.
Let's take a hotline call so that Heath can get all hussied up about some stuff.
Oh,
anyway, yeah. See, I have the advantage of actually hearing the hotline calls before we put them on. Yeah. So here's one for you. By the way, you want to give us a call, be part of the show, have some fun.
What's that number?
That number, 701-901-1295. Mm-hmm. Call in, leave your thoughts, leave your, you know, your rant. You want to do your own rant? You can have your own little segment.
No,
you
got to
keep it under a minute. But you can't call it the Tomas rant. You got to call it something else, okay? So anyway, let's take this call.
Hey, guys. Troy in Louisiana again.
What you say, Troy?
Calling y'all this week to talk about Kobe Fleener, man. I think it's time to just move on with this guy at the end of the season. Let him go, man. When you got your third string backup tight end getting more snaps than the starter, that's a problem. This guy is getting paid way too much money, and I think it's time to move on. Find somebody else that can do a job a lot better than him. Thank you all. Y'all have a good day. Bye-bye.
Troy, thank you for the call. Okay, now he's all upset. I think that's his brother-in-law or something. I'm not sure. But he got about 5 catches this year, and he's making about $25 million. He's like 13th production
for
13th money.
Come on, man. What do you want, you know? I mean, a guy's giving you one catch for every $5 million. I mean, what do you want?
What do you want?
I mean,
you
know, leave this guy alone, for God's sake, man.
Here's the thing. I agreed with you, and I think it was fair. Last year, you know, you getting, I think, what we said, 13th money for 13th.
Production
was right where it should be. Having said that, we can't defend him anymore. And, okay, this is kind of just a feeling, but it just seems like he's not even part of the game plan anymore.
Well, and that's the thing, you know. I mean, I agree with him right now, but maybe not for the reason you would think, because, quite frankly, his play has been good. He's caught the ball. He's made some tough catches when he's had the opportunity. Problem is,
he's not getting any opportunities.
And of course, he's a weakness in the run game and in the blocking aspect, which is why Hooman and Hill are playing more.
And that
in
could
those
be
situations.
Something. And in fairness, that could be a reason why we're seeing him less in some of these games where the Saints now have developed the running game.
Right.
They might simply be saying, "Hey, look, we're not trying to bring in a guy who's a receiving tight end in a game where we expect to run the ball." And the more successful the Saints are, maybe the less playing time and success in running game.
Right.
Maybe the less playing time.
And obviously that does make you have to question his fit on his team, but not necessarily from his standpoint. It's from the standpoint of what the Saints want to do and what this guy does and what he fits and what he doesn't fit. That's
I
all
disagree.
I'm saying.
I disagree. Simply because, look, we were just watching that game, and the ball hit him in the hands, and he dropped.
Last week.
Now we go to Indianapolis. Indianapolis now has another tight end. That's where he came from.
Oh, okay. I'm like, what?
The Colts, they have a tight end who is, like, tremendous. They knew what they had coming up behind them. So here I'm going to give you a little tidbit. Perhaps the Saints have a different idea on tight end. Perhaps somebody they're looking at for the future that's not here. Or how about Griffin, who's still on the developmental squad who they're high on? Just saying.
Now, I think here's the thing, and to the caller's point, after this season, the Saints can cut him without it hurting too bad.
Yeah, a little bit of dead money. You
know? Having said that, I just don't see how the Saints would want to bring him back if he's not more productive than what he is.
Right.
I'll give him the rest of the season. Give him the rest of the season. All right. It's the BS and Beer podcast crew. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio, Dave Romero. Sports Talk 97.7.
You're
we'll
listening
right
to the BS and Beer podcast.
BS and Beer, standing up for the little people, man.
BS and Beer podcast.
Standing up for people.
BS and Beer.
Indeed, you are powerful.
Americans are going to stand up and say,
BS and Beer.
And I'm just telling you what people are going to do.
We fight bullies.
BS and Beer podcast.
There's going to be a revolution
for the people.
BS and Beer.
There's going to be riots in the streets.
BS and Beer.
BS and Beer.
Getting ready to rise up.
BS and Beer podcast.
Come on, I'm joining them.
Now witness the firepower of this fully armed and operational
podcast.
The BS and Beer podcast crew fighting for the little man, all right?
Right.
We are the little men. Well, mostly Tomas.
Speak for yourself.
Mostly Tomas. But generally speaking, we the little guys that are fighting for the little guy, right? I don't know. Is that politically correct? Can I call people little guys?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know.
If I offended anyone, I want to apologize in advance.
I take umbrage to what you said there.
I'm sure you do.
Mr. Romero.
I'm sure you do.
A day off of work and a safe space for everybody tomorrow.
Heath, you were telling me that you found a correlation.
Yeah, man. He's talking about the tight end at Indianapolis coming up, and that's why. And I'm telling you that Flina leaving is why Luck has dropped off a cliff, man.
There it is.
It wasn't Luck making Fleener. It was the other way around.
Fleener made Luck look good. You know what? You don't find that kind of in-depth analysis anywhere.
Anywhere else.
Right here, the BS and Beer podcast, Heath Elson-San is laying it down for you so that you can understand how the game works.
That's right.
So now it's time for our NFC South report. Interesting. I already laid it out there. Saints win 2 weeks in a row. The rest of the NFC South. No, that's
that sounds
Cam
amazingly
Newton.
Close to playoffs.
We need to do one of the mixes that they do on the hip hop mixes. Playoffs.
Hi, I'm Ricky Bobby,
and I'm Cal Naughton Jr.
We like to have a lot of laughs on the racetrack, but today we want to talk about something serious.
The NFC South, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Atlanta Falcons, and the Carolina Panthers.
All right, so listen, NFC South, already pointed out, Saints only team to have won in the NFC South, but I think there's a lot of interesting stuff. One is, y'all know I'm not a big fan of Cam Newton or Carolina, but then aside from Carolina's embarrassing way that they continue to lose, Another really interesting game was the Atlanta and New England game.
Yes.
So let me just get to the Carolina game. First of all, the game ended 17-3. Two of the touchdowns, because, okay, we're playing Chicago this week. So I'm like, okay, is Chicago good or is Carolina just that stinking bad? They get two defensive touchdowns early in the game. The rest of the game, Carolina couldn't do anything, and they end up with a field goal, and that's it.
Yeah.
But then again, Chicago couldn't do anything, and all they really did was kick the field goal,
right,
except for those outside of those two defensive touchdowns. Now, I think it's something that we can discuss a little bit because of the fact that the Saints are playing Chicago. So what can we expect out of Chicago?
Nothing.
I kind of feel that way. Cause,
look, you know, I mean, Chicago almost beat Atlanta at home early in the season. Was it the first week of the season?
First game. Yeah, first
okay.
Second. Yeah, okay.
They had another good game against Carolina at home yesterday. They're not at home next week.
No.
They're going to be in a Superdome. They got the rookie quarterback playing. He's going to have his moments. He didn't really have any moments. You know, I mean, like you said, offensively, he did nothing against Carolina, even at home. I don't see him coming in a Superdome and being able to muster enough, especially with the Saints defense playing away. And Drew Brees is not Cam Newton.
No.
You know, I realize he's had some interceptions here recently and all, but again, you know, no.
I think that Chicago has a tough front seven. It's going to be hard to run the ball on them. But I just don't see how the Saints – and I'm not trying to turn this into our prediction for the Saints game. I'm just really trying to talk about Chicago and Carolina in the sense of, I guess Chicago – I just still don't think they're that good. And now we talked about the Atlanta-Chicago game and Chicago-Atlanta, Chicago-Carolina. Now that we're 8 weeks into the season, we realize that Atlanta and Carolina simply aren't that good. Like, going into it, week one, we thought Atlanta, and I did, thought Atlanta was going to be a really good team. So then I'm like, man, Chicago played them pretty tough. Now I'm looking at it and saying, hey, listen, I'm not saying that Chicago can't make things tough on you because they do have a tough defense. And they'll try to run the ball down your throat. I just don't think they're that good.
No.
Well, I think that they're good. I don't know if they're that good. I think that they're good. Now, they've played Atlanta, Tampa Bay, and Carolina. So you've got something to go with. You know, they beat Pittsburgh in overtime. They should have beaten Atlanta. So, you know, it's not that they can't play. They have two running backs who I actually like, Howard and Owens. And they brought in the rookie quarterback, Trubisky, who has been playing pretty good ball. So, you know, are they a good team? I think that they're a good team. Are they a great team? No, they're not a great team. Will they be able to stand the pressure in the dome against the Saints defense? My answer is no. So that's where I have to leave. But, you know, really, we're talking about the NFC South. What does this say about Carolina, Tampa Bay, and Atlanta? You said you thought Atlanta was going to be a good team. I still think Atlanta's a good team. I don't think they're a great team. But you're seeing the big difference between an offensive coordinator who matches up with his quarterback. It's just like Drew and Peyton. You know, they're on the same wavelength. They click almost all the time. Well, that's what you had when you had
Shanahan.
Yeah. You know, with Matty Ice. Now he's not there. Now you have Sarkisian.
Yeah.
They're not connected. You can see it. There's just no offensive flow at all to Atlanta. You know, in Tampa Bay, I'm sorry. You know, I give a lot of kudos to their quarterback for playing hurt, but I'm just not seeing it, you know. So,
all right. So then, moving on to New England and Atlanta, 23-7. Now, it wasn't even that close. It really wasn't that close. No. Atlanta, whatever it is that they had last year, and you just brought it up. You kind of going out of order there a little bit, but you know, is it Shanahan? You obviously gave your opinion
to me.
We talked about this in the offseason.
You know, but is it Shanahan or is it just, you know, all the mental stuff that they have to go through?
I think it's the hangover from the Super Bowl.
They're embracing the suck on a whole new level.
Yeah.
Like, this is, you know, this was a slogan. Now I think it's a way of life.
Yeah.
You know,
we saw Carolina nosedive after the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We talked about Atlanta having a potential Super Bowl hangover with the horrific loss. I mean, you know, And also Shanahan being gone. I mean, we've seen interviews this year already with Matt Ryan talking about how he's running the offense.
I wonder how he feels about that. Like, I mean, every quarterback, I think, wants to do that.
Well, right.
A lot of additional pressure.
Yeah, but he came out and, like, basically laid the claim that this was, you know, that Sarkisian wasn't going to walk in and change what they had been doing.
Gotcha.
And, you know, okay, well, how's that working out for you?
Well, and lastly, we only have about 30 seconds here, Buffalo and Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay is another team. It's just they continue to disappoint. Having said that, I think Buffalo, very good team.
Yes.
And
underrated.
We got to start realizing that this is going to be a tough out because we got to play them in Orchard Park.
Yeah.
It's in December, I believe. Yeah. And you can expect some tough weather.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a hard team to beat.
Right.
So, quite frankly.
In November, not December.
You know, Tampa Bay, I don't know. Out of the three teams, real quick, who's the best?
I guess I'd still have to give it to Atlanta.
Me too.
Me too. All right. 97.7 Sports Talk. BS and Beer. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the BS and Beer Podcast.
Yeah. Super Highway. Coat to coat. Mr. James Brown. It's hot in the hot tub. Welcome back. It's the BS and Beer Podcast crew. Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. I'm Dave Romero. We are on 97.7 Sports Talk, Monroe, Ruston, and worldwide on the internet. You can find us, Tomas's favorite, Podbean. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Google Play. And there's like a million other places, but those are the most popular ones. Yep. So if you miss some or all of the show and you want to catch us, go out there, catch us. Like it, follow it. What else? Share it. All that stuff. All that internet lingo. Go ahead and do that. Be a fan of the show, man. You know, also, don't want to forget the hotline, graffiti hotline. No waiting. You just call 701-901-1295.
Make it short and sweet.
Yeah, you know, keep it under a minute. But give us your take. You can whatever it is that you want, man. You can blast something out. You know, just give us a hoot at. Whatever it is that you want to do, we take the audio. We put it on the show. You've already heard a couple of them. But we actually have another one for you. We've got to get this one in. And then we also have an email, and I have to get that email address out. It's bsandbeer@icloud.com. You can contact us that way. And if you have some football to talk, sometimes we'll read it on the air. So let's get to that graffiti hotline call.
Go ahead.
What's going on, guys? It's the California Cajun calling you for my last weekend as a single man. So I'm getting married next week.
Dun, dun, dun.
A couple game recap notes. Defense, it's weird. It's like when they turn it on, they're solid. They came out a little bit flat today, a couple of big runs up the middle. But Cam Jordan is as tough as they come. The defense really, it's got a lot of potential to be really solid this year, guys. Offense still has something to prove. I'm not seeing a lot of consistency on there. Let me know what you guys think. Later.
All right, so one of the things you can notice by the fact that he said today, you don't have to wait till Wednesday to call the graffiti hotline. Matter of fact, you need to call sometime after the game. And before Tuesday afternoon, while we're still starting the production of the show and getting everything together. So give us a shot. And while the thoughts are, like you said, Tomas, while the thoughts are still fresh in your head, I agree with what Craig had to say. California Cajun, we actually know him. He follows the show. He's a friend of the show. You know, he emails us. He calls us. He lets us know what he thinks. Heath.
Well, I agree with him from a defensive standpoint. That would have been one of my bad or uglies. They had a bad for a change, a bad game against the rush. They gave up, I don't know, 170 yards rushing or something like that. Offensively, you know, I didn't come away from this game with that bad of a feeling about the offense. Actually, the running game and, you know, second half for Drew Brees and everything. But I agree with him. This isn't the consistently high-powered Saints offense, you know, that we've used to maybe in years past.
It seems like it's a new era of Saints football.
But you know, tough we defense, still had almost 500 yards. You realize that, right?
No, I did not realize that we had almost 500 yards. You think I'd know those kind of things.
330 yards passing.
That's right.
And
I know Ingram had 105 and Kamara had 70-something.
We had almost 500 yards total.
It just doesn't seem like it. It just doesn't seem.
It's because we don't have that fast-paced pass. He did not throw – Brees did not throw 40 passes.
Right. And that's what we want.
Right.
That's what we want.
Right.
All right, let's get to the pick'ems. You guys ready? You do
right.
your study? Do your research?
I did.
Listen, I got this new vigor. I'm ready. Like, I'm back in it, baby. Some from 50-something.
Viagra or Cialis?
Not that kind of vigor.
For a small man.
For a small man. All right, I see where you're going.
Half a tablet is all
for little man. Yeah, yeah.
So here's our pick segment. I decided to start with the two greatest picks in Saints history.
Brett Favre goes back to pass. He pumps. Now he fires over the middle. Intercepted. I can't believe what I'm seeing right now. It was intercepted by Tracy Porter. Near side to the 40. And John Sullivan runs him down at the 47-yard line.
Tomas points out that I have not updated the Pick'em segment since Tracy Porter is now a felon.
Well, he's not yet. Okay, oh, he got arrested.
You anticipate that he will be a felon.
Well, you know, it is what it is.
what did he get popped for, though? It's something like...
Spousal abuse.
Okay, well, that part's a serious.
And marijuana and prescription.
Not marijuana.
Well, that was the least of his problems.
I know, yeah.
It's okay. The opioid thing, bro.
All right. Well, all right. Did I mention this is a BS and Beer podcast? Maybe I just changed the subject all the way.
Let's go,
all the way.
Pick 'em, let's go.
Pick 'em. Let's get to the pick'ems. All right. So the first one I have, Dallas at Washington. What's the line on that? I didn't write it down.
No line.
No
line.
Oh, that's why the little dash. I did write it down. Just dash. All right, Heath, what you got there?
I got Washington at home.
Me too. Washington at home.
Washington at home. All right. So here's the thing. We play Washington. I'm still not sure what they are. They played Philadelphia. Philadelphia is supposed to be one of the best teams in the league. So I'm still at the point where I'm not quite sure what we're going to be facing. That's where everything, all roads lead to the Saints. So I think I'm going to go with Washington. I don't know. Man, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just going to pick Washington. All right. So the next game, Houston at Seattle. Seattle giving up 5.5 points. Heath.
Seattle at home.
Seattle at home.
All right, so now you guys are just trying to – you realize we have a whole segment to fill out here. Listen, this is an open rebellion because I told them that they can't be too long-winded, that we just
– So we're not being long-winded.
No, apparently not. All right, so I will be. Okay, so Houston got a quarterback that's being effective now. They have a good defense, or at least they had one when J.J. Watt was there. J.J. Watt's not there anymore. Seattle, I don't know, not the same team they used to be, but they keep winning. I don't realize it sometimes. So
it's because their tight end position is really solid.
Oh, God. Listen, Jimmy Graham is on my fantasy football team, and I'm about to cut him. And I heard some Saints fans saying they want us to sign him next year because I guess this is the last year.
I heard that too, an idiot.
So, to replace Fleener, I guess.
Yeah.
So
well,
13th production for 13th value or something like that.
Yeah.
All right, so did you guys make your pick?
We did already.
You did, all right. So I'm gonna go with Seattle.
So we're unanimous.
Yeah, all right. So Denver at Kansas City. I'm gonna need y'all to take a good long time to think about what you really want in this situation.
Okay.
7.5 points Seattle Kansas City's giving up.
I think Kansas City is gonna rebound after their 1-point loss last week. Denver pretty much sucks right now.
Good analysis.
Got nothing going on at quarterback. So I'm going to take Kansas City at home and give Denver to 7.5.
Me too. No, here's what I have to say. All right.
All right. Here's what the people want to know.
All right. So Denver has an issue. Here's the issue for Denver. They lost. This is similar to the Atlanta Falcons. They lost their defensive coordinator. Okay. Wade Phillips left, went to Los Angeles. Okay. To the Rams. So they have a difference. They have a different head coach. Another difference. Okay. And they have a problem at quarterback. Simeon was never thought of as being a starting quarterback. He was always thought to be a good, solid backup guy, which is why they got the tall, skinny guy in a draft choice. Mm. Okay. Except the tall, skinny guy hadn't worked out. Apparently, got a great arm.
I think he's banged up too right now. I heard him talking about that. I think he's a little injured.
Well, the injury might be a brain trauma.
All right.
Can't read defenses.
That could be it, too.
That could be a problem. But the talk has been that it's time to pull Simeon out and see what else they've got. So I think Denver has got a problem. And, you know, you turn around and just like Heath said, Kansas City, I love Kansas City. I really do. And they got to be by 1 point, you know. So I really think that this they're going to bounce back because they have a shot at the playoffs. And they have good players on that team. So I'm going to go with Kansas City in this game.
All right. I think I have to go with Kansas City as well. They're a good team. Denver, good defense, but there's only so long you can hold up before the cracks start happening.
And it's not
offense.
The same defense anyway.
No.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to the NFC South. Carolina at Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay giving up 1 point. Heath.
You know, this is a suck fest, but I guess I'm going to have to take Tampa Bay at home. I'm going to give them the home edge here, you know.
You know, it's coming up on Thanksgiving, and I'm thinking about what can I make for Thanksgiving dinner. Now, you know, the usual fare, of course, is turkey. Well, that brings to mind Cam Newton. So, you know, I don't know. Of course, you know, then you have on the other side. You know, some people like to have seafood during Thanksgiving.
See, now you see, this is what I have to put up with. This is what I have to deal with.
So,
well, you would have wanted to talk more.
You know, and crab legs would mean
Jameis Winston.
There you go. You
see? I see where you tied it all
so
in there.
So if we're talking food, but then I think about a lovely candied yam. You know, a candied yam casserole, you just can't beat a candied yam casserole.
I mean, seriously, this is what I deal with. Y'all don't even know. Y'all don't even know. So you're going
to
make a pick?
To me, I think the pick is the marshmallow pick, and that would be the marshmallows go on top of the candied yam, and I'm going to have to go with Tampa Bay.
All right. That's great.
Well, you told me we have time to fill up.
Now we are behind. Okay, moving on. I'm just going to say.
Entertainment.
Look, at least somebody in the NFC South, other than the Saints, will win because Carolina's playing Tampa Bay. Yeah. I'm going to go with Tampa Bay, give up the point. Atlanta at the Jets, Heath.
I'm going to take the Jets at home in this game.
All right.
J-E-T-S, Jets. Yes, I think it's going to be the Jets.
Atlanta's going to win this game. Now the big game. Chicago at New Orleans. New Orleans giving up 10 points. We got about 40 seconds, Heath.
Saints.
I'm going with the Saints as well. Listen, I hope you guys have had as much fun as I haven't had today dealing with these two guys. It's the BS and Beer Podcast. Dave Romero, Heath Elson-San, Tomas Mauricio. Thank you guys, all of you, for your support. Find us, like us, follow us. Give us a good review. We appreciate all the support. We'll see you next week.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back.
And that's the way it is.